Oftentimes, I was going to say sometimes, but oftentimes, maybe all the time. It is good for us to remember the foundations that our faith is built on. It's good. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good. But the thing is that we need to remember the promises of God. We need to remember that we are indeed shielded. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. Psalm 18:2. He is. He is those things. That's all there is to it. I don't earn those things. I don't increase those things. I don't decrease those things. Those things are steadfast. Your love, your word is steadfast, O Lord. Your word is steadfast. The Lord is faithful even when I am not. These are just truths. Does that mean then that we don't need to be faithful, that we don't need to do our part? No. It just means that he does his part. And the confidence that we have in him doing his part increases our desire to just be a part of that. To just be a part of his faithfulness. Go ahead, Lord. Prove yourself faithful. Prove yourself faithful in my life, Lord, so that then I have hope, so that I have an opportunity to defend the hope that is within me, so that I do my part automatically, because you're just so good. See, that's the way God set all of this up, that he would do his part, and he is so good at his part that when we are willing and able and desire receiving his part, that our part falls in. You know, it's like, Jeff, when you're coaching little kids wrestling or something, you know, and, you know, you're this big guy, and so that impresses them pretty much. But, you know, it comes to a place where there's a breakthrough where that kid's convinced that they can do everything that you say that they can do, when it all makes sense. And this is what it is with God, is when it all makes sense. But we've got to bring ourselves to the place where it does make sense. I can sort of remember, Jennifer, when what you're doing now was just a tiny bit overwhelming, and the enemy was trying to make you doubt that you would ever be able to do it. But you stuck to it. And it makes sense. And it falls together. And to God be the glory. I mean, I was this morning I got up and I went and I put the dogs out and Morris wasn't there. And I came back in to read my Bible and I thought, how blessed am I that the biggest problem I have is that the cat wasn't there this morning. That didn't mean it didn't bother me. It just meant that in the long, big scope of things, it didn't bother me. The interesting thing was is that Morris was already back when I remembered about the last time when I just put my trust in the Lord to take care of it and I found Mac on the road. But I didn't even think about that when Morris wasn't there. So, wow, that was a great victory. I mean, what is that when your victories are cats and things like that? You know? But if we think about it, it seems like oftentimes it's little things that mushroom on us. And, you know, great big giant things, the enemy sort of gives up on except occasionally. But he tries to really puff up little things. Because if he can get us to lose it over little things, then he can condemn us and tell us that we have no faith. He can tell us that we should be stronger in the Lord. He can tell us all sort of things. But, oh, when we remember, wait a minute, the Lord is my shield. He is my fortress. My refuge. my ever-present help in time of trouble. Simple, simple, simple truths that do so very, very, very much that we don't ever want to forget those also simple truths. We don't need to complicate faith. Paul said, my biggest concern is that you lose the simplicity that is Christ. We don't want to lose that. Because we can get caught up in, you know, we can get caught in trying to figure out the 500 books with 5,000 reasons why if we do this and we do this and we do this and we do this, it's all going to work. And so we get one book and then we want to read another book and then you got to read another book and then you got to read another book and then you got all of these things and who can remember all of these things? Not that there's anything wrong with those things, because oftentimes within those we might find an answer. But an answer is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Lest we forget that the Christians that everybody wants to emulate, the New Testament Christians, they never had a Bible. You know that. I know that. They never had a Bible. They never had a thick book. They had a letter once in a while. And they would pass the letter around, and you know that they were people, right? So they argued about the letter. They argued about what Paul really meant when he said things. They argued about Peter. They argued, sometimes they would get this letter and Peter would say, now this is the kind of people you ought to be. And somebody said, wait a minute, I know what Peter did. He denied Jesus. Who's he to write letters to us? And somebody else said, look, get over that. Jesus said to him, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, I love you. Do you love me? Peter said, I love you. Do you love me? Peter said, I love you. And then Jesus said this, Peter, feed my sheep. So when he writes to us, he's feeding us. Leave it alone. Well, I don't know about that. They were people. They were people without a Bible. And they walked as well as they could in the Lord. And man alive, sometimes they got the most graphic illustrations. Ananias and Sapphira sold land and pretended they gave all the money to the Lord. And they said to him, now listen, wasn't it your land in the first place? When you sold it, wasn't it your money in the first place to do with what you wanted in the first place? Why didn't you just give some money and everybody would have rejoiced in your offering? But no, you wanted everybody to think you gave all the money. You wanted everybody to think you were just right up there at the top of things, and you just can't lie to the Holy Spirit. Boom. Some people have said, boy, what if that started happening in our churches? I'd start meeting on the lawn. I don't want that to happen in the churches. You know? Because here's the deal. If it did happen in the churches, you know how long it would affect people? Well, nowadays they just switch churches because that just wouldn't be the place to go. I mean, I don't know. But you know, I mean, the thing is that things like that, just like miracles only last till the miracle's over. People get all excited about a miracle, but they forget about God. We get all excited about the Lord doing something for us, but then the minute that it isn't just right, we lose our excitement because we forget that the Lord is a shield about us. He's not a temporary shield. He's not a shield that battery runs dry. But he says we've got to press toward that mark for the prize. You know, I mean, nowadays, if you call somebody and it goes right to voicemail, you know what must be wrong. Either they shut off their phone, which you doubt that could happen, or their battery went dead, which you think they should be smarter than that. Or there's a problem. And so then you try to do whatever you can do to make connection. You got social media, so you go on Messenger on the computer thinking maybe they're on the computer and they maybe don't know that their phone isn't working. So you message them and say, hey, I called you and I went straight to voicemail. And sometimes they'll answer and say, yeah, I dropped my phone in the toilet. Don't have one right now, but I'll get one, you know. Or I broke my phone again or whatever, but it's a relief that you can get a hold of them. If you could just remember what you wanted to get a hold of them for. But you know, the fact is that we expect them to answer. We expect, you know, when we first got the girls' cell phones, you know, I expected them to answer. I said, I expect you to answer. And when I called and they didn't answer, and I got a text, and I don't want a text, but I figured out if I'm going to talk to them, I'm going to text. So then, rules changed. When I text, you better answer. If I text and you don't answer, you better have a good reason that you didn't answer, because I want an answer back. So this was the confidence. I mean, you see how we apply all those things in the natural. So in the supernatural, can't we expect God to respond like God says that He will? Yeah, I gained enough confidence in my children that I assumed that an answer was coming. I would try to figure out why I wouldn't have happened to get an answer. I keep trying to convince Vicky somehow to carry a pouch or something so she has her phone with me, with her, because I'm calling. Last Sunday I was calling when I got out of jail. I forgot that she was at the nursing home. So I'm calling home. I'm calling her phone. She said, honey, did you forget that I was at the nursing home? Yes, I did. But I expect her to answer. She expects me to answer. We expect those people that we call to answer. And when they wonder why we're so concerned about them answering, we are clear about the fact that it's obvious. I want you to answer. God wants us to call. He said, when you seek me, you will find me. When you speak to the Lord, it never goes straight to voicemail. It's never one of those things where the phone, the person that you were calling, does not have their voicemail set up. You know, you get those and you think, what's the matter with this person? Why don't they have their voicemail set up? At least have your voicemail set up. I mean, you don't even have to put a message on it. Just set up your voicemail so I can leave you a message. How many of us don't listen to our messages, we just call the person back? Well, God hears your message the first time you say it and He speaks right back. But we have to have the confidence that He does. We've got to know. We've got to know above all things that the Lord is our shield. He is our fortress. He is our never-ending help in time of trouble. The Lord, He is God. He is good. That's what He says about Himself. Not because He's braggadocious, because it's got to get into our hearts so that's what's on our mind. That's where we run to. That's what we do. The 30th verse of Psalm 18 says, God's way is perfect. Say that so you can hear yourself say it. God's way is perfect. See, if you just say that and let that settle in, that sort of just brings everything into the pile. Yeah. How could I forget that God's way is perfect? Last week a gal in one of the pods, and we were talking about God dearly loving us. And she said, if God loves us so much, how come we're going through this stuff? I tried to rake it into a pile for her and explain to her that God's way is perfect. We live in an imperfect world. There's stuff. Jesus said you won't be avoiding the stuff. There'll be the stuff, but I'm a shield about you. All the Lord's promises prove true. They're true, and maybe it takes a little move of the needle before it proves true, but they're true. They're true before we believe them. They're true when we believe them, and they'll be true long after we believe them. They prove true. Take the time for them to prove true sometimes. And God doesn't say, stand out in the hailstorm while they prove true. He says, I'm a shield about you. It'll happen. It'll work out. It will. It will prove true. We got to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and say to ourselves, oh, wait a minute, God's way is perfect. It'll prove true. It will prove true. God will prove true. And then not listen to anything that exalts itself against that truth. Just because you see something doesn't mean that it's evidence against the truth. You're just seeing something. You're like the prophet's secondhand man who looked out and the soldiers were surrounding him and it was history. They were done for. And the prophet said, Lord, just open his eyes to see that there are more for us than against us. And God heard and God did. And the guy said, whoa. Fiery angels surrounding them. We got this. You see, God's word proved true because God told the prophet, I'm going to take care of you. And he says the same thing to us so that no matter what comes up, it's going to prove true. There might be every sort of evidence and things screaming at us that it just isn't going to happen. But who are we going to believe? Whose report will we believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. The Lord says that my promises will prove true. He didn't say anything about instant gratification. And yet, sometimes it just happens. And sometimes it happens before we know it. And sometimes we come upon it and we realize, my goodness, that trap was set there for me, and the Lord sprung the trap. My soul's escaped like the bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our hope is in the name of the Lord. Since our hope is in the name of the Lord, what should we call on? We need to get over calling on the God of, oh no, oh no. I'll tell you the foolishness that the enemy tries to put in your head. Okay? Big things, little things, whatever. You know, when Morris wasn't there this morning, Vicky always wants Morris to go out. Because Morris had a bad habit of scratching at our door at 5 in the morning. The cat gets up earlier than we do. Don't want the carpet ruined. So I try to listen, but sometimes I didn't always listen, or sometimes Morris would be scratching before I knew Morris was scratching. And so Vicky just really sort of prefers that the cat goes out, because the cat's not going to go anywhere. The cat's going to stick around. But I worry about Morris, you know. And so I actually had this battle in my mind that I needed to win, and I won, praise the Lord, you know. I didn't get into a big argument and didn't accuse her of killing the cat or do anything like that. But boy, the opportunity was there in my head. But I went and sat down, and I thanked the Lord that that was the biggest problem that I could think of. Pretty fortunate. Said, Lord, I just give Morris to you. We both did our little walk out, whistle, look, sit back down, and Morris came back. And I could tell by Vicky's walk across the floor, Morris is back. We were excited about that answer to prayer. The Lord is faithful, big things, little things. Fear and doubt and despair, those are all very real. They are very, very real. But they're not bigger than God's ability to overcome them. And so He offers us the opportunity to overcome them suddenly, quickly, or over a long period of time. But the ultimate thing is that we come into the, wait a minute, Lord, you're my shield. I'm going to get behind my shield. I'm going to get behind here, and this may sound foolish to those that are perishing, but I'm going to be back here just knowing that God's doing a great thing. And every time the enemy comes and lies to me, oh no, God is the shield to me. He's the glory and He's the lifter of my head. I'm not going back out there. I'm not going to put my head up above the shield. I'm not going to try to get out there where I can catch a dart, you know. No. I'm going to sit here and be foolish if that's what you think. But it's not foolishness to trust in the Lord. Because He's just that good. And He's that good. And it's not one bit based on my performance. He doesn't quit being good because it gets beyond my belief. Remember when we talked about beyond belief? You know that there are things beyond your belief that welcome you to come into that next level of belief? God doesn't accuse us. God doesn't abuse us. God doesn't chastise us. God doesn't make fun of us because something is beyond our belief. He brings us to things that are beyond our belief so we can leap into that belief. And now we've got one more thing where we can defend that hope that was in us because look what God did for me. Look. And see what the Lord has done. I visited with a young man this week, and he's the first person that I've actually visited with, and he is there for first degree murder. And there's nothing about him that is a murderer, but he's still there for that. And he's there for that, for something that he did. There's extenuating circumstances, but it's a fact. But he has come to know the Lord. And he has come to have peace with God in the midst of that. And we are believing for favor. I visited with another young man that has been in the system since he was 12 and he is now 19. In and out of jail since he was 12 years old. And he has decided that it's time for a change. And he asked Jesus to come into his heart and help him to change. This is the kind of God that we serve, who is able to do more than we can imagine. And really, all that we need to understand is He's our shield. And inside that shield is a table that's prepared for us in the presence of the enemy. And inside that shield is our fortress. And inside that shield are all the promises of God. And inside that shield are love and joy and peace and prosperity. You're my shield. And as my shield, you're my protector. You're my provider. You're my deliverer. You're my king. What am I doing standing outside the shield thinking I'm bulletproof? Or thinking that somehow the Lord doesn't quite understand my particular circumstance, and so I'm going to get out there and take care of it myself, even though I cannot take care of anything myself. How much easier to just step into the simplicity that is Christ. To know that whenever any thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is just all it is. All it is a signal to get behind the shield. Because those are fiery darts of the enemy. They aren't, I'll teach you a lesson from God. They are the fiery darts of the enemy. And the fiery darts of the enemy are only coming so that we can see the shield of faith quench them. So that we can experience, my goodness, God, you are real. You are truly abundantly above and beyond what I can hope or imagine. I'm going to get to the shield, to the God who is higher than I. I'm going to scramble there, and I'm going to be there. You know, on the news they have the story going on of the soccer team that was there, and you know, people can ask, what in the world were they doing there? It's the rainy season. I don't know. That doesn't make any difference. But I see them scrambling well enough to get to a dry spot. And then people managing to find them. I've watched those Discovery Channel things about people scuba diving in caves. To me, that was about as crazy as it can get. I'm not a big fan of dry caves. When they're well lit with signs. Because you know what? When the lights go off, it's dark. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You see, because God is for you. And we know, if God be for me, who can be against me? If the Lord is on our side, what can man do to me? If the Lord is on my side, what can the devil do to me? If the Lord is on my side, and there's no question about it, the Lord is on my side because he says so. And Jesus said, the Father himself dearly loves you because you love me. So by whatever means we need to get behind that shield, if we just, Jesus, you know I love you, you know I love you, you know I love you, and boom, there you are behind the shield. I don't know what to say. Holy Spirit, help me behind the shield. God, you are so good. You are so good, and you're so faithful, and you're so true. Forgive me for any time that I doubt that. Forgive me for any time that, for some reason, I think I'm behind the shield, but I'm not acting like I'm shielded. Forgive me, Lord. But more than anything, thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, and you are true. And your word always proves true. And so we stand on the rock of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Simply confident that you are our shield. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.